Well, I welcome you and thank you for joining us this morning once again. And over the last couple of weeks, we've recognized that our decisions are important, incredibly important, in fact, as we've been talking about life and the different things, but especially as followers of Jesus. And I understand I'm getting some pushback. Because apparently some wives are restricting ice cream from their husbands. All I can say is, all I can preach is the word. What happens out of the Holy Spirit's prompting in people's lives is up to them and God. And hopefully some Moose Tracks ice cream will be restored to you, Brent. Decisions, though. Decisions are an interesting thing because we stated that the direction of our life is often impacted heavily, if not determined, by the quality of the decisions that we make. The problem, though, has consistently been, though, that we are not very good at making decisions because most of the time, and I haven't used these words necessarily, but most of the time we tend to be reactive in our decision-making process versus proactive as we enter in. We have been encouraged over the last couple of weeks not to wait for a future moment to happen before so that we're in the midst of a situation, but that instead we would decide now, pre-understanding that there are going to be certain things that we know we are going to face, that we are going to make decisions ahead of time of how we will live into that moment. That when given any situation, and we are able to determine what those decisions and that situation may be, that we will take a specific action in those moments based on the values of who God says we are and that we want to lift in our lives and live into. So last week, we began this process of looking at what these values, and we decided and acknowledged that we understand that Satan is after us. Not passively, but actively after us, that the devil is on the attack, and so we need, Scripture says it over and over and over, that we need to be ready and on guard. And this week, the value that we're going to look at, I truly believe, has the ability to radically impact every area of our life. It's a key to spiritual growth. And it's a key to physical health. It's a key to relational intimacy. It's a key to financial stewardship and potential. And the value is that is a part of today that we're going to focus in on is the key to accomplish any goal that we might have in our life. But it's not based on appearance. It's not based on background. And your history of where you came from or been. It's not based on a level of education that you may think you need to have. This value instead that we are called to live on into is consistency. We acknowledge its importance. Many a time we know we shouldn't do this because of this. And yet so many are inconsistent, and so we just do it anyway. We're inconsistent with what we eat. I'm not going to go into that, because I am the living embodiment of that at times. We're inconsistent in our desire to exercise. I know I need to get out there and do that, but, you know, I just don't feel like it. We're inconsistent in reading the Scripture daily, as well as in our time of prayer. And it seems that we're even very inconsistent on being on time to just about anything. If you find yourself wanting to do certain spiritual disciplines or wanting to take care of your life in certain ways or wanting to be an encouragement to your kids and to family members, and yet you find yourself inconsistent, know that you're not alone. Paul in Romans chapter 7 is talking, he's talking about the sinful nature and how it affects our life. And he says, you know, I know what I want to do. And I want to do what's right. But it seems like I constantly find myself fighting what I know I want to do and what I shouldn't do. And yet I find myself doing what I don't want to do in place of what I want to do. And that's word salad like you'd never believe. And I've always looked at that verse and I see that and I understand Paul's frustration. Because we know that consistency matters. That we know what we do and how we do it and how often we do it matters in the long run. Because there is a power to consistent living. Remember, we've been called to give all of our life and all of everything that we have in our life to God and honor Him with our lives. And that's why that consistency matters. But here's the key for this. Consistency is not found just in your strength or willpower. It's found with God's help. It doesn't take a genius to point out that there's a lot of successful people in the world, but that they do consistently what others do occasionally. And you can define success however you want to do that, but that's one rule that we will often find. Successful people do over and over what others do every now and then, because we are what we do consistently. It's not what we do occasionally that makes the difference. It's what we do consistently. And so what I want to do is help us through Scripture to see where and why consistency matters and to give us some handholds in helping us make progress in this area of our lives so that we will honor God in everything that we do. This morning, we're going to look at just one little story of the story of Daniel. And so I invite you to turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. Throughout his story, we find Daniel is consistent morally, relationally, spiritually, and in his leadership. And to give a little bit of backstory of why his story is so different and important is around 605 BC. The Babylonians destroy Jerusalem. They invade and destroy it. About 18 years later, they come in and they start taking young men specifically. But not just young men of, you know, warrior age or any of that, but they specifically start looking for those that are the best and the brightest in that area of conquered land. And they don't just say, hey, we identify you. They say, hey, we identify you and we're taking you with us. And they start this indoctrination process. Basically, they want to take everything that was about them and now take those elements, whether it be how they eat, how they learn, how they live, and they want to make it what they are so that they can become the leaders and then send them probably back into their place and be people of influence, not in Israel's influence, but Babylonian influence. They want to give them a new identity. And so in the midst of all of that, all these best of the best, all these leaders, all this potential, Daniel rises to the cream of the crop. He has taken notice over and over. He distinguishes himself consistently to the point that in chapter 6, there's a new king. His name is Darius. And he takes note of Daniel. And he notices these things about Daniel, and he says, man, this kid has got it. In fact, to the point that I'm going to promote him to the highest position shy of myself. And I'm going to put him in this position to oversee the people in different things in this land. Well, needless to say, there's some Babylonian leaders who don't like this idea because they want that title. They want that honor. And so they start scheming amongst themselves. How are we going to hold Daniel back? And they say, well, let's dig up some dirt. And so they start talking to old girlfriends and those kind of things. They look on his Twitter page and his other social media, trying to dig up and find something, a fault in his character. And what it says is that they couldn't find, in verse 4, it says they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was a man of integrity, consistent integrity. In fact, it's noted in this that he was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. If you ask me, those are the definition words of consistency. When put together, that list is powerful. So they realize, well, we can't dig up dirt because there is no dirt. So what are we going to do? Well, we know he's extremely dedicated and devoted to his God. So let's go after that. They do a little research here and there, and they go to the king and say, hey, king, you're the man. You're the best of the best. You are of honor. You are like a God to us. And because you are like a God to us, we want to pump you up, and we want everybody to worship you in this way. And so what we want to promote and propose to you, O king, is that for the next 30 days, we're gonna build this massive statue. And for the next 30 days, no one is allowed to do anything other than worshiping you and praying to you. Darius, being the king that he was, goes, that's right. Yeah, I like that. Let's do that. You know, I like the praise and the honor, and so he agrees. And the punishment within all of this is if they caught anybody, they are going to throw them into the lion's den. Daniel 6, verse 10. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Daniel did what he always had done and does. He consistently pursued the heart of God. He sought to honor and committed his life to God in all situations. And so it says the leaders found out because they knew this was the area they were going to trap him in. They're watching for Daniel to go and pray. And they catch him in the midst of the prayer, and they go to Darius and said, ha-ha, Daniel, that guy that you thought is so good, he's doing what we already decreed he shouldn't do. And so, king, it's time to throw him in the lion's den. And it doesn't take much to understand that Daniel, the king, isn't happy, and he kind of wants to say, well, let's not do that. But he knows he's caught. Because of the word and all the different ways the law was set up, that he had said it, so it had to happen. And so he throws Daniel into the pit of lions. And as he's doing this, you really need to hear this. He says, may the God whom you continually serve rescue you. There's this almost apologetic feel to it. And in his mind, though, it's like, I'm telling Daniel, I hope this happens, but it's game over. These lions are ravenous. I mean, they're just going to destroy you, but good luck. It says that he worries all night. He can't sleep. He can't eat. And at first light, he gets up and he runs to the lion's den. And he looks in and he says, "Hey, Daniel, you okay? You still there?" He's not expecting to hear any reply. And Daniel says, "Hey, I'm here, King. I'm here." Because God was sent an angel who closed the mouth of the lion. Verse 23, the king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him. And just to prove that it wasn't a farce, that, hey, the lions just weren't thinking about eating, he takes those same leaders that put this and they put them down, and it says they just got torn apart. Have you ever thought about this, though? In the midst of these stories that we've heard since we were kids, I remember the felt board things where you know, all the little people they would put up and watching that story. Have you ever thought about this? When did Daniel learn to trust God? The answer isn't on the way to the lion's den. We find throughout his life, from the very moment of writing in this scripture, we find that throughout Daniel's life, he had consistently sought the heart of God. His faith was built over time while on his knees. He had consistently set out to honor God with his life. And the question for you and me is, can the same be said of us? I mean, think about it. It's not what we do occasionally that makes the difference. It's what we do consistently. So how do we grow in our consistency? How do we honor God with everything, not just in the moment, but that we set our hearts and our minds ahead of time that we are going to live this way? And so I want to give us three little quick game plan things to help us. In any area, I think we can apply these rules. Because if we're going to grow in our consistency, the first thing we need to do is start with a why. We're going to start with a why. If you wonder why Daniel prayed consistently, it wasn't about an outward show. It wasn't about taking notice. It says that he went up where he went into his upper room on his own and consistently prayed. Daniel knelt privately and prayed three times a day because of his devotion to God. That's why he did it. He had pre-decided that he needed to continually connect with the heart of God, and so it was born out of a desire of devotion, not just desire of the moment. And there is a huge difference. I can understand. I mean, I'll never forget. In 2015, I went to Costa Rica with a group of young leaders from around the world. We converged. And we were doing these mission projects. And here I am, a youth pastor, and things are kind of going on, and there's a project here with some painting, not too hard. And then there was going to be a project with our group where we were going to a school area, big park, and they were going to play soccer. Understand, soccer involves running. I am way overweight. I'm not breathing well. I mean, my health has kind of gotten, I've just kind of let it go. After that moment, and I said, I just can't. I'll have asthma attacks like you would not believe and all these different things. I came home, that was in February. January, February, somewhere on there. And I decided I need to do something. It wasn't just the desire to be able to run or to do those things. I just realized there were bigger issues. I had to define the why in my life. And the why is my grandmother died of a massive heart attack. My dad's had bypasses and, you know, stents galore. He says, you know, after the first dozen, you deserve a free one. And I want to be around for my kids. I want to be around for my grandkids. I want to honor God with my body, not just my life. And so I had to make some decisions. And there's a huge difference from just saying, well, I need to lose some weight, to deciding why I needed to do that. And it was a 2+ year process to get where I needed to go. And if you have noticed, I'm not as thin as I was when I moved here. You guys feed a pastor way too well. It's the ice cream. That banana split ice cream. Here we go again. But the thing is, desire will get us moving. Desire will help us in the midst of the moment. But if you only have a desire and you don't have the why, the likelihood is of the staying power of that isn't going to be very good. I mean, you think about how many January 1st resolutions for the new year ended by January 4th. Because, oh, I'm going to do, or I should do. But the thing about the why is, the why pulls out the deeper understanding in the devotion. The why moves any goal from desire to devotion. If you can compellingly tell yourself why you want to do something, you're not going to wait. It's not going to be, well, it's, you know, June, but I need to lose weight. I think I'll wait till January 1st. Because that's the time everybody, you know, that's when the gyms are putting on their membership deals and, you know, I'm just going to wait. No, it will compel us to say, I can't wait because of the why. And you have this strong why influencing decisions, and it compels us to move forward. And so if you want to grow in consistency, you start with the why. Where in your life do you want to be more consistent? Where do you want to grow? Well, I want to get closer to God. I want to have a better marriage. I want to have more financial stability. I want to be in better health. And that's all good. Those are good things. But we need to go deeper than that. We need to go beyond the simple answers and get to the why. Because that will help bring out the devotion and the dedication that is a result in what we do. And devotion's important because I promise you at some point you're going to have to face some obstacle, some resistance, something that's hard, and you're going to be tempted to say, you know, I just don't feel it today. I don't want to. But when you know your why, when it's set in the heart and not just in the mind, you find a way. You start doing things because you know the devotion of why it needs to happen. But when you know, because your values are clear, your decisions are easier. And if you want to become more consistent, you start with the why. And you have to define it. The second thing, and this may sound counterintuitive, and I'll admit, I've been wrestling with this one this week. Plan to fail. What I mean that is, and I'm not giving you an excuse, I'm not saying you have to fail, but I want you to think about this. We read about Daniel praying 3 times a day. Do you ever think he missed a day? Yeah. He isn't perfect. He's a person. We don't need to deify him or over-spiritualize him. I guarantee you at some point he probably missed a prayer time. You know, maybe King Darius said, Daniel, you have to stay late for work. Maybe he got caught in traffic. The camels and donkeys were in a standstill. It's nose to tail as far as the eye can see. Maybe, you know, he missed a prayer time along the way. The issue for us, though, isn't that we missed it. It's that we get so inconsistent because we have a mindset of all or nothing. Well, I missed it. I guess it's done. I had the ice cream. Diet's over. You know, just bring the whole tub. You know, I failed, I give up. But the thing is, we need to understand is being consistent isn't the same as being perfect. It's the long view. There's a big difference. Give yourself grace. You're going to miss a day here or there. You're going to have a scoop of banana split ice cream. Or if you're really holy, it's cookie dough ice cream. But the thing is, a momentary failure can be a part of the growth process. The problem for many of us is we're still living with this illusion that perfection is keeping us from even starting. That we think it has to be all or nothing. And I'm not saying that God can't get you there, but we have to start somewhere. Because we can get in this idea of, well, I'm never going to be great at it, so I might not as well try. And there are some who say, you know, I want to be a devoted follower of Christ today, but, you know, if I follow Christ, what happens if I mess up? So, you know, God, you don't know where I've been. You don't know my history. And it's so deep that, you know, and we think that it's far more. And the answer is that you probably will mess up. But don't let that stop you from making the first step. In your life, you're going to want to do a lot of things. And you're going to mess up at times. If you're going to miss, you're going to eat the wrong thing, you're going to oversleep, you're not going to work out, you're going to buy something that you shouldn't have, you're going to look at something you shouldn't have, you're going to be trying to read the Bible every day and you're going to miss a day. Don't think that you have to be absolutely perfect in everything from the very start. Understand, we need to be consistent. And the key to understanding the failure in the moment doesn't have to mean failure for life. When I taught my kids, and again, I think I did this a couple years ago, I got to teach my nieces how to ride a bike. The first thing I said as I put them on that bike, it says, you're going to fall. Understand, I'm going to do my best to teach you so that you don't fall, but there are going to be moments where you're going to fall. Don't give up. When you fall, wipe yourself off, get back up, and go again. In life, God's saying, I love you too much. I understand you've fallen, but there's grace. Seek forgiveness, and let's move on. Because as we start with the why, and we understand that there's going to be moments where failure can happen. It doesn't have to, but it can happen. And we say, okay, since we understand that, but we have an understanding that we can fall in love with the process. Daniel wasn't praying because it was a duty. He prayed because he valued time with a holy God. He loved the intimacy with God. And we see this in his character throughout the story. He wasn't just out to get promoted. He was just trying to live consistently before his God, first and foremost. He wanted to honor God. And the mistake for so many of us is that we get so obsessed, and I'm fully here, that we think we got to lose just 20 pounds. 20 pounds. I've got to pay off the credit cards. I've got to read through the whole Bible. And these are all admirable things. But whatever your goal is, it's not just about the goal. If it's only about the goal, then we often the focus and we miss the overall. You know, we can feel like we've not failed until we hit that goal. And the thing is, the goal can be so far out there in the future and the path more difficult than we expected. And that's why we need to fall in love, not just with the goal, but with the process. You see, back in 2015, I was not just in an unhealthy space physically. There were a lot of things going on. So after that time, it took a little bit to get there, but I set myself on a three-part phase of my life: body, soul, and mind. I started running, and not because a bear was after me. And it included a lot of walking in between the short spans of running, I will say. But I started slowly developing that habit and eating better as well. It included mind in that I started my master's program and challenging myself to think differently rather than being settled in the way I lived. And then it developed spiritually because I was just in a place where, you know, I'd been a pastor for 20 plus years, all these different things, and I was just kind of coasting in some ways spiritually in my life. And God, I had to get back into God's word in a new and revitalizing way. I fell in love with the process of all three. Eventually, not only did I get my master's, but at the time of my master's, I had lost 60 plus pounds, and I'd read through the Bible at least 2 to 3 times because I fell in love with the process. And yeah, I ate ice cream. I hated doing homework. And I missed a day or two here and there reading my scripture. But it wasn't just about the little thing. It was about the consistency of the process. Because whatever your goal is, you're not successful when you just achieve the goal in the future. You're successful when you honor God today. Every day adds up. And so what I want us to do is pre-decide in our minds and in our hearts that with God's help, we're going to live into the understanding, you know, God is an unchanging God. He is holy. He is love. He is righteous. He is judgment. He is consistent. He is all these different things. And we live into that value of God saying, you know, be holy for I am the Lord your God, am holy. And whatever, in that holistic understanding of what that looks like, that we can be consistent. And the key for it all is really with God's help. He gives us strength. And you can't be consistent just on your own. Paul says, I don't even understand myself. But later on in that chapter 7, he asks a question. He says, who can deliver me from this body of inconsistency, this body of death? Praise be to Jesus Christ. He is the one who can empower us to live a life that honors God. So my question for you this morning, where is God calling you to be consistent? Take a moment and be honest in that. God, where do you want me to be consistent? Where is it that I can honor you more? Get beyond, God, just the desire of the moment and what that means in my heart. But show me, God, where I need to develop consistency in my life. Maybe it's in your giving. Maybe it's in your prayer time. Maybe it's in your word. Maybe it's in your attitude. Maybe it's exercise and diet. I don't know. Maybe it's what time you go to bed. Maybe it's who you look at and what you look at or not look at. Maybe it's the way you treat people around you. I don't know. But God, where do you want me to be consistent? And let him speak into you. Because remember, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Where in the midst of those two things that encapsulate all of life do you need to adhere that in your life consistently? Let him speak to you, and he will show you the values that matter to him and that should matter you. Because when your values are clear, your decisions are easier. And so three times a day, Daniel said, I seek the Lord. I pre-decide. It's not going to happen by accident. It's a decision that I'm making ahead of time. So you start with a why. But you know you're not going to be perfect, but instead you're going to understand that you fall in love with the process. And the great news isn't that you're successful when you meet the goal, but you are successful before God when you honor him daily. So with God's help, may you honor God consistently in your life. Bring glory to God. And that will make you more effective in every aspect of your life. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the faces as I look and I see the body of Christ gathered. For the decisions that we make, Lord, may we honor you. May we start to think ahead about not just the things that we're doing or not doing, but understanding of who you have called us to be as your people. That God, we're not here to mold you into our image, but we are here to adhere our life to your image. You've called us to a holy life. One that understands that Satan is after us, and so we are ready and on guard. But also to a life of consistent love for you in every area of our life. May we honor you. And so God, this week, as we look and we pray, and we take our life and hold it before you, may you help us to understand not just the desire, but the devotion to you applies to every area of our life, every day of our life, every minute and second of our life, not just a Sunday morning. For God, you are worthy to be praised. May you use us in the here and now. May our witness of consistency of honoring you in every area of our life speak volumes to those around us. That we can point to you and say, I don't do it for myself, but I do it for a God who loves me enough to save me and to give me eternal life. And so I offer my life to you, God. Help me to live consistently before you. In your name we pray. Amen. And I haven't mentioned this. On those sermon notes that maybe you did or didn't follow and use, maybe you doodled on them, I don't know. But on the back page, I've been including some questions for you. Maybe around the dinner table or sometime. Take those questions with your family or a small group that you might be meeting with, and use those questions to talk about what we just shared today as we want to move forward. Remember, God's word is not just a Sunday thing. God's word is an everyday thing. And so go in peace. You are dismissed.